Everyone faces questions and decisions that require insight and answers as we move forward personally, professionally, and corporately in all areas of this thing we call life in America today. Hello, this is Joe Schofield, and I invite you to tune in every Monday evening from 6 to 7 p.m. as we talk together and hear from key leaders of all ages and backgrounds about your questions. Interesting, informative, intuitive, but always encouraging. Tune us in on BBS Radio Network.
Join Pastor Joe and co-hosts Ron Greer, Dr. Paul Hall, Stephanie Thayer, and Dr. Craig Thayer in Raising Expectations.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you to this week's edition of Raising Expectations. And we're sure thankful that you tuned in tonight. We, as we always say, we thank God for you. We never take you for granted, and we look forward to having you with us each week. We've got a really good program tonight, and we've had some different things happen with folks around. So this is going to be kind of a quick intro. As you know, Pastor Paul, Dr. Paul Hall is back in Illinois, and we're praying with him. The Lord's going to be calling his dad home, and it's in those stages as we lift him up. So thanks for your continued prayers for Paul. I know you've been praying for him, and let's continue that. The comfort that God brings at times like this in our life is something that we can never understand or never put into words. So pray for Paul. He'll be back with us soon, and we'll be anxious to have him with us and know that all is well. And then also Ron Greer, as you know, in Texas, down in Texas, Ron Greer is, we don't know, but don't worry, he's going to show up. He might have got stuck somewhere. Ron's always the first one on with us, so Pastor Greer will be with us pretty soon, and you know Ron is with Man in the Mirror. He's a counselor, he's a pastor, he's done so many things, and Ron will be back with us. When he pops on, we'll just bring him right on. We've got the best engineer you could ever imagine in TJ. TJ Newsom takes care of all these things for us. So when it comes time, he'll be right on with us. We'll be bringing some people on live. In fact, pretty soon, a couple of weeks, we'll share some of that with you later. There'll be some very special things happening that way. So we want to know that all the way on the East Coast, which is the south part of the East, as always teased Ron, there in Dalton, Georgia, is where we have Steph and team, but Stephanie will be coming in, but Tank's with us right now. In fact, we got some great pictures to put up. How do you like that, folks? I pulled out one for you, Tank. I thought you guys would like that one. There's a
couple days ago.
There you go. Yeah. I thought you'd like that. I thought everybody enjoyed seeing that, and there they are right there, and they're two precious lives for Christ and very special part of our family. We love them both very much, and they're with us tonight. They'll be with us pretty quick here. And there's Tank right there, ready to go. And the thing that I like about this, I'm going to introduce Tank for you, and we're just going to go with this. And as the people come in, you know, when we get to talk with Tank each week, with his medical expertise as a surgeon, a trauma surgeon, as an author, and Steph, of course, his wife, with very deep insights in the health and wellness coaching that she does, and in helping ladies with as a ladies counselor, they always give us deep spiritual insight that is also laced with a personal touch because they love the Lord. Because of the way they love God, he gives them the ability to love every one of us as we talk and to experience, when you have questions and things, to experience who you are and where you are and to be able to pray for you. And, you know, we all know that we're living in an unbelievable time of inadvertent decline, I believe, in our nation. And perhaps a recent quote from Denzel Washington says it the very best. I wrote it down for you. He said, "We live in a time where intelligent people are being silenced so that stupid people won't be offended." Let that sink for a minute, because common sense has disappeared and make-believe seems to have replaced it so often. So the question we kind of want to look at tonight is make-believe as one sees it, or mental health really as one needs it, as the core of so many issues that we face today. And we're going to be looking at the second part of what they had brought to us, grace and mental health. And so I'm just going to let Tank, when Steph gets there, he can introduce his wife and just bring her right on. And I'm going to let him share with us. This man is a brother in Christ. He's a great surgeon. And most of all, he's one of those guys that if I had to be stuck somewhere in the Rocky Mountains, somewhere all by myself, I would want to be stuck with this guy right here because he loves the Lord and he's a great man of God. And he's a great, great encourager. He always sees the good. That's why he's a great surgeon. He always in Christ sees there's a way we can get through this. Appreciate you, Tank. And thanks for taking over as a key part of this team and sharing with the folks tonight.
No problem, Joe. Thanks. Great. It's great being part of the family, and it really feels like part of the family. So, anyway, it's like Joe said, this is part two of Grace and Mental Health, and the reason why I chose this, you know, here's a surgeon that cuts, right? So, just what you don't need to think. You're just, you know, you're. I actually had a friend that said, "You're just labor." So. And I go, well, you know, there's some critical parts of that when you're doing trauma because, like, do I need to transfuse? That's going to cause, there's a risk benefit. And so this is more of a thinking subject, which is, somewhat unusual for surgeons to speak about. But I think it's one of the biggest topics currently. And it's so important because we can make a huge change. I mean, this is a simple thing to do if you look at the data, the information out there, and common sense. So, I began last time in defining what grace was, which was, you know, undeserved favor, not earned, and freely given to us. And then I went into what mental health was, which is a person's condition with regard to their psychological and emotional well-being, and then the big word psychology there of affecting or arising in the mind, mental, not physical, right? So it's when we talk about I feel, that's mental, it's not physical. And interestingly, for I don't know, probably 40 years now, maybe longer, more so the LG community have been trying to find a marker, a gene, a protein, an enzyme, something that shows this is a biologic issue. We're born this way. We can't help it because we've got this gene that's producing whatever, and they've never been able to find that. So that's why this is always remaining in a mental or how I feel situation, and is brought on by multiple factors that we, you know about because it's been studied for a long time. But it's an interesting thing that not like a disease where we could show, look, this gene turns on and then you get pancreatic cancer, or more recently a protein that's associated with high incidence of cancer, whether that causes it or it's produced by, or we don't know, but it'll get further researched. But and then, I'm part of this, too. There's this dictum that we grew up with, and I'm not sure exactly where it came from, but we were so afraid when we got married and then had kids to raise them and not scar them, traumatize them, that we were afraid to do anything. And that, unfortunately, has developed into what Abigail Schreier would say, gentle parenting. And she just finished a book, which I'll go over a little bit later, what the title of it was. Actually, it was Bad Therapy, Why the Kids Aren't Growing Up. So she looked at it from why aren't they leaving the home? And then she went through the whole LGBTQ community and looked at over 1,000 families and a common denominator that just stood out. It's eye-opening, which I'll go over in a bit. But this gentle parenting and not wanting to scar our kids has turned into where instead of us dealing with it, self-examining why this behavior is occurring, whether they're anxious to tests, or they're shy, or different things, ADHD, which is inherited. You know, and self-reflect to see, okay, what do we do as parents? Instead, it gets turfed to therapists so much now that schools that have the money don't just have a school nurse. Now they've got a school therapist slash counselor sometimes. Counselors are usually what guide you through your school and academic career and how to get into college and all those things. But that therapists, it's like, and so what Abigail Schreier discovered was that actually, if you actually looked at all the money that was being dumped into therapy, you compared the two groups, the kids that went through therapy and the kids that did nothing, they were just left alone. They had a 3.7 higher suicide rate and a 7.7% or times attempt at suicide than the kids that were just left alone.
Oh my.
So, I mean, it's interesting because what's happened is, well, on top of that, instead of being like your kid misbehaves in class, instead of being called by a therapist, it's usually the teacher that says you need to do something about your son. He's acting out. He's hyperactive. He's not paying attention. He's distracting the class. You need to medicate him, right? So we treat it like a disease.
You know,
when really part of that is hereditary and an issue, but the meds don't always work. And especially for if it's a depression issue, the serotonin ones, the SSR, actually has shown that increases depression and suicide, and it actually creates violent behavior. If you look at some of the school shootings,
yes,
those people were on those SSRIs.
Wow.
So I think the psych community is reevaluating whether this is really a good thing to do or not. But you know, and it's developed. I mean, I came from California. I mean, and they just recently, within the past month, I think, passed a bill that takes away all your parental rights. You know, if your child's at school and he or she or whatever pronoun they want to use, they don't have to tell us that. And if we, and then what happens is really they start to direct them to transformation issues and docs and that kind of stuff for either surgery or meds. And then, and they have to tell you about that. And then if you put up a fight, they may take your child away.
Yes.
So I think President Trump in one of his interviews had said that was, hey, my better half is here.
There you go. Amen.
But
I apologize.
No, good to see you.
But yeah, I mean, it just Genesis were created, you know, in God's image, and that's a great thing. We should all love that. So let's
bring
that love as a man and a woman to multiply our species, so to speak. And my oldest actually wanted to get a master's in gender. I said to her, I said, you know, there's only two. There's three. There's male, female, and confused.
This was like 10 years ago, by the way. Yeah.
So I mean, it's been around for a while. But, I mean, the reason why it's propagated is these kids just want to belong. You know, they found something, and now they've got a group of adults that are promoting this. And you know it's adults because you can find kids, I think this is in Schreier's book too, they have three that are want to be transgender. So, I mean, the odds statistically, naturally, of finding one kid is like under 1%. To have three of them there, okay, so how is that happening? It's usually one of the parents that's strongly encouraging them to transition, right? So
you're seeing that with celebrities too, where all of their children are trans, or, and it's just, it's not adding up.
Yeah. And why are they saying these things? I wonder to them. Is it because they don't want to be as responsible, or they don't have the time, or they're too fearful, they can't deal with it as a parent? You wonder about these questions that we get.
I think it's being edgy. I think it's being different, or in their mind being liberal, or pushing that they're more aware, in tune, which is of course the opposite of the truth, right?
Right. I mean, I think it was, I'm going to date myself, probably 20 years ago, there was a high school that all these girls thought it was really cool to get pregnant.
Yeah.
There was like 10 of them, but hey, she got, I'm going to do the same thing. And
Yeah.
then had 10 pregnant teenagers. It's like, they're so malleable. And you see it in college. I mean, our oldest and second oldest, and Nico, luckily, was son, was all STEM. He was science. He was an engineer, right? So he only had maybe a couple classes. And the one that he had was a speech class. He gave a speech on gun control. So yeah, how, you know how that goes with some of the liberals, but.
I'll also say our oldest ended up not majoring in all the different genders. My aunt, who is completely the opposite of me politically, but I highly respect, was there during our interaction and she leaned over to me quietly and she said, "Give it 6 months, she'll change her mind." And sure enough, she did. And she ended up
Yeah.
getting a degree in communications, a master's in that. But there are waves of these popularities, which is why I think, at least when it comes to the gender part, we're seeing such a high portion of the young generation identifying as something other than heterosexual because it's, in vogue or whatever term you want to, they're just
Yes. Yeah.
trying to follow along. Yeah.
I think somebody well said that the best book for figuring out where people is today are today young people, and what they're struggling with hasn't changed throughout time. It's called the Book of Proverbs, and how to raise a child. And the third chapter particularly has the first 3 points, and I'm not going to go into those, but I'll never forget those. And they are so true. Everybody's different. I mean, you've got, is the word still anywhere in print? Tomboys, tomboys. I mean, we used to have a couple of girls I knew in high school. Shoot, they could take me on a basketball, and I played sports, and they were good. But later on, they also became wonderful ladies and happily married and leaders in their professions. And the idea that they grew up to be homemakers too, and they loved their call of God on their lives, all those things. And but Proverbs, do you remember? Okay, this is very quick. When do you remember Mickey Mouse Club?
Yes. And
Yes,
yeah.
I have very highly touted sources. I want you to know that. Mickey Mouse Club, which has really changed. Walt Disney would roll over in his grave if he saw it now. But in any way, do you remember the group? Proverbs, Proverbs, they're so true. Proverbs tell us what to do. Proverbs help us all to be better Mouseketeers. Well, what he was telling us was it takes time to grow up, and the Proverbs are so clear is it's okay to be who I am. Gee, that's a new thing they like to do. It's okay to be who I am, and you can accept me for who I am because I'm going to be something special. That was right out of what he was teaching. And sometimes my heart breaks, like Greg was saying earlier, when I see some of these kids, and they're all get on TikTok and other things, and they're really trying. And I've seen such great value in TikTok with the way the gospel's going out. I've seen some great stuff. But there's just somebody put your arm around, some parent hug your kid and say, "Hey, I sure love you. You're okay, you know." And
Right.
but that's a different perspective. Let's take it back to where you were, and that's where
Yeah,
I'm
but
thinking.
I think it reflects that grace, right? So I remember going to there were two leadership breakouts that I went to that were impactful. Well, multiple of these two I'll talk about. The first was about raising your kids as teenagers, and there was this quote on the projector, and it was, "Kids nowadays don't know what they're doing. They misbehave. They're rude. They're not respectful. You know, they're always into their toys and their other stuff." And you know who said that? Socrates.
Oh, booty
So you're right. Kids have not. It's just the
No.
situations have, right? Although
Yeah.
social media is being proven to be really negative, and a lot of schools are smart, and they're confiscating the phones at the door, and they give them back at the end of the day.
Or
And
they're blocking the Wi-Fi, so
yeah.
it won't work.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have
It's
scramblers.
not good
There
for their head. Not good for their mental health. I mean, I took care of a kid that was 16, and because he didn't have so many friends on Facebook, he shot himself in the head with a shotgun and took off his face. I mean, that's graphic, but that's how social media can tweak kids' head.
Yes. Yes.
Think, look, I'm not worth anything. So that 100% love of, look, man, you're created in God's image, and this is just a period of time, and
Yes.
really, it's just accountability, tough love. I mean, what we don't do anymore is tell them, get your ass up and walk it off, or sticks and stones may break your bones, but names won't hurt you. Or there's just a million of those. Get up, shake it off. We don't do that. The gentle parenting doesn't do that. So what happens when you do that to these kids? They never learn grit. They never learn how to overcome adversity. So they just kind of don't do much. They and in this book by Abigail, worse, because if we helicopter them, meaning we just do everything for them, why would they ever want to leave home? They're not warm jacuzzi, right?
We also are seeing
So you
him.
got to find a way to turn that water that temp down and gradually get them out of it. But yeah, that's why. That's the reason that these kids aren't leaving home. And we talk about, the thank God the American Academy of Plastic Surgery, or at least their academy, I don't know if that's specifically what they call themselves, finally came out within the last 2 weeks with a statement saying gender affirmation surgery is not right. Stop doing it
For young, right? For the kids?
for the 18 or
Yeah, for the
less.
kids. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's going to be some adults that can make, and we don't let kids get tattoos until they're, 18. We don't let them drink until they're 21.
Don't let them drive. There's all
Yeah,
kinds of things
or
we don't.
smoke, I think.
We
So,
literally, I heard about that they don't let them have some of the sports balls at some of the schools because they can hurt themselves. And yet we're telling them they can cut off their body parts. I mean, right? It's the level of chaos. It's chaos.
Yeah, so the way to get around this immediately is install little merry-go-rounds, jungle gym bars, and swings everywhere.
Bring them back. You know what?
Bring them back.
Petition for the merry-go-round. We were talking about this the other day, and I said, it's crazy. You can make all these sexual decisions as a very young person, but you can't fling yourself off a merry-go-round. Like, that's a rite of passage, That's not safe.
You all need to watch Brad Stein. You've probably seen Brad Stein, right? And he talks about this, the monkey bars he had, and he put them
Bill
in two things
Cosby,
and springs. He said, no, they were in concrete, and you fall on the concrete and you bleed. You go in and you scare the teacher. But it's true. I mean, there's an old saying, the ship that goes forward makes waves. So if a ship's dead in the water, you're safe. You're not doing anywhere. You're not accomplishing. So a kid thinks, I'm not going to move. I'm not going to do anything because I'm okay. I don't know who I am, but I'm not going forward. It's too dangerous. They need to risk. They need to be able to risk, and they need to have a safe haven. They go to mom or dad that is willing to be a mom or a dad. Like you were saying, hey, shake it off, And sports now, the whole thing. I don't want to go down that road. Just go ahead, Craig. I'm thinking about all these things you're saying.
I mean, that's where I'm about to go. It's like you lead me into these perfectly, Joe.
Sorry.
So I mean, what also has happened is not just society has opened the door for these things. It's been our government.
Yes.
Recently, there was a presidential action that tried to expand Title IX and allow boys to go into girls' locker rooms and play in girls' sports. And the Supreme Court just shut that down.
A
So,
couple of days ago.
yeah. So, but our government is now involved. That's one example. The other one I mentioned before of California taking away parental rights about us finding out whether our kids, who we know better than they do, or hopefully do, if we don't have any input and we can't know, and if we find out and we start doing stuff, they're going to take them away, right? So,
And you're starting to see that in other states too. Washington has passed something like it's not just California.
look at the Olympics. I mean, you had two, I think one of the athletes was what we call
ASD.
a hermaphroditic, or now it's a different term. It's, yeah. So you don't develop all the way. So you're ambiguous, and so, but you still have full testicles. They work just fine, and so you're a male. That's what you are. Your lungs, your lung capacity, your VO2 max, which is a sports
Hormones.
hormones, muscle mass, bone structure, bone density, and if you've grown through that, you've got that ability in your, teens and 20s above what the XX would be, which is female, right? So, yeah, it's just, I mean, we're watching men beat the snot out of women. That's not, I don't, that's not, it's not fair. It's not fair. But I mean, I just look at people and go, why are you allowing this? I mean, it just seems like there's a fog around your head, or you're possessed, or I don't know what it is, but it's something that, and I think the left that are very pro, it's just, again, it's that fight to belong, and I finally get a voice, and it's getting out, and I don't want that to go away, and we need to love on those people, but we need to help them through things. It's like, I always talk about, if you were looking up for a gym to work out in, and you open the door and you walk in and it was a bunch of obese people, you'd probably say, this isn't where I want to work out. It doesn't look like it's working. But really, it's like Christianity. Those are the people that are working the hardest to be fit. If you walk into a church and there's a lot of people that, look like they're hypocrites, and they are working on their Christianity, right? So it's a process. We're not perfect. We'll never will be. But thank God for Jesus, who washed all our sin away and died for us and came back and gave us the Holy Spirit, etc. Right? So again, that my point is, we're not perfect, and really, either are they. I mean, they're more, no more a sinner than I am if I swear, right? So, but hopefully their heart gets changed when they get to become a believer, and they listen and they learn, and then things change. And part of that was, which is what Trier said, if we would have been better parents and held them accountable, then these things wouldn't have been as extreme, or they would have been shorter in duration.
I think you said in the beginning both those things you said too. It is an inside job, but it's not an inside job for a new drug for Big Pharma to make all this money on. It's not another drug to change something. It's an inside job where Christ Jesus comes into your heart, like you said, and changes your life from the inside out because he gives you the ability to say to yourself, I don't have to be perfect. You said that so well. I'm who I am, and he's working on me. I'm a work in progress, and it's okay to be that way. When the Supreme Court passes and protects that Title IX with a 5-4 count, that wasn't real reassuring in a way to see the direction of the country. And you know, Greg, what you said there too, see what you both think about this in line with that word dinks. What's happening with the phrase dinks? Double income, no kids. Nobody wants to have families. Now they look down your nose if you have children or you're growing little kids and they don't want them. They want double income. They don't want to be bothered. They want gratification and they don't. And nobody's telling them the greatest gratification comes from peace within and the love from without, from your kids and your family. We've got it all, as the famous author said, bass ackwards. Can you say that on the air? I think you can. Yeah.
Ass is okay, because it was, that's what Jesus wrote in the,
That's Balaam. That's the only time today there's a lot of guys already that listen to an ass and say it. You remember Balaam's ass? But anyway, that's a famous one from seminary. But yeah, they're I think about this and the things that bring the greatest joy into your life, your children, watching your grandkids and watching the neighbors' kids. They wave, hey, how you doing? And all those joyful things that God gave us, kids don't have to be perfect. I worked with an autistic a couple of kids there for a while back in Texas, and I'm not going to go into all that because I'm certainly no expert in that. I was just a pastor, but like you said, Greg, boy, they needed when you would respond in love, like you said, and share Christ and not give a judgmental action back to them, but put a boundary. I heard it said like this, and I'd like to know what you think about it because you know more than I do on this. Kids need to have boundaries, and I always thought the boundaries expands as the decades go by, as the years go by. The boundaries are a lot closer when they're little, but they go out as they grow and as they fall down and as you pick them up and such. But the boundaries don't move; they're walls. But the cool thing is the inside of that wall is padded, so that kid can run into that wall full blast, and he's not going to hurt himself. He's going to fall on his, you know what, and he's going to say, "Gee, Dad, that didn't work." I say, "Not yet." But when it does, then he can. So that's why God maybe made that not to spank, but to land on when you hit the boundary that you know is there because you're loved and you can go to the next level. What else did you find out, maybe medically? Is there anything there that comes in line with this?
I mean, I think, well, let me reemphasize the puberty blockers,
Yeah.
have found to sterilize. So if you take a male and you give him estrogen, and you try and block hair growth, their testicles don't develop completely and they're sterile for the rest of their life. So you've made a eunuch. You've
Yeah.
castrated them. Right. So, chemically, same with the women. Their ovaries don't work right and their breasts may not develop. Or if you've taken off the breast, that's gone. So that's not an option. No breastfeeding. Right. So, the number of people that are coming back to have reversal surgery back to what they were, the plastic surgeons don't even have any of those things thought of or developed. I mean, the implants, sure, for breasts, but that's not the actual tissue. You know, it's just an expander that gets enough skin that's stretched that then you can put an implant in. You'll be numb, so you're not going to feel the same.
It's also hard to find doctors that will help you with reversal. I mean, I know a gal that was transitioning and then wanted to detransition. She's almost done detransitioning. You have to take hormone therapy for about half of the time that you did in the transition to be able to detransition. And it was very, very hard. She actually went to a alternative to abortions, like an alternative pregnancy center, and was begging the doctors to help her because you can't stop the high doses of hormones. You have to really be under supervision. And they were the only doctors that would help her. So a lot of these people that when they're finding this isn't what they want, all of a sudden that community that was so accepting really isn't. They're accepting if it's their way. And then now you have some serious medical things to deal with. And where do you get that, right? So not just the plastic surgery piece.
But so as a surgeon, I've done something that I thought helped you, and then I have to admit that it didn't work. It doesn't go over well as a surgeon. I mean, and then it thinks you set you up for liability, right? So I get sued for admitting that I did shouldn't have done this or so. And then here's the other medical tragedy. No docs did the investigation into where did all this come from? What was the society that was the gold standard for telling us there's data studies that support this is going to lead to much less suicide and all that stuff. Well, it was a place, it was an entity called YPATH, WPATH. And it was founded by a PhD, not an MD, in psychology, who was a transgender and then wanted to build a whole society. And so what he did was is get a bunch of other colleagues that were PhDs in psychology, not MDs, no background in medicine at all.
Pick it on my psychology
Sorry,
degree.
yeah. But so doctors. But not doctors, and built this house of cards. And they had every year they would come out with new guidelines for transgender and lesbian and gay and queer and all this stuff. And then, you know, the surgery stuff. And then, I mean, every 2 years, the last few years, they would come out with surgical guidelines. And so, none of it had any evidence basis at all.
Oh my
And
goodness.
that's just gotten exposed. I
But
mean,
that's opposite of medical standards.
I'm
so
serious.
that's the medical part of this grace and mental health. It's a tragedy. I mean, to me, it's I feel sad for pediatricians that didn't do the research and refer people to surgeons, institutions. But then propagated this whole thing and made it seem like it was real. So, you know, the UK Norway or some of the first countries to show, no, this is, I mean, and what they did, if you listen to Elon Musk, by Jordan Peterson, who's a psychiatrist, so he's an MD in Canada, who's being like his license is being
Attack.
attacked because he said men are men and women are women, and you know, there's confusion.
They're making him do remedial training in Canada and putting his license at risk because that's his stance. Yeah,
Is
so
that
people are under
psychiatric?
serious attack for standing up. And he's a Jordan Peterson's a great faith-based man, but
Yeah.
anyway, back to Elon.
Yeah, so I mean, Elon had a child that got transformed surgically, and he just felt like he lost a son. So,
He also felt like he wasn't properly informed on what
and he
would
was
happen.
told, if you don't do this, your kid's gonna commit suicide.
Erroneous procedure, erroneous statements form. You know what scares me sometimes as a pastor, as a dad, as a man with a with friends and family and friends in so many states that I see something like this and people go through these things. First of all, I become there's always that little feeling inside of anger that comes up, just a little bit, you know, that comes up that you're mocking. You're made in the image of God. My God doesn't look like that, and my God is not like that. And you are knocking the word of God. And yet, that always comes up a little bit because I love the Bible. I love the Lord. And there's so many things I could share in my life what God has done. But then it goes to a second level, like you're saying. And then I have this fear that comes up, and this fear that these people, I don't want to judge anybody. I have no right to judge anybody. God loves them all. He loved me in the, yet while I was still a sinner, Christ Jesus died for me, Romans tells me. We all know the scripture, but the scripture has to come out of the book into my heart and out of my mouth and into my me. But there becomes a fear. What if they begin to do over and over and more to what they're doing to this doctor you're speaking, this psychologist that you're speaking about, psychiatrist, I mean, that they start just pushing every truth down everywhere, and pretty soon we become like those kids who stay in the ship and don't let the ship go forward. We become so cancel culture fearful that we're afraid to make waves. And standing up for the truth and standing up in love is real easy to say, speak the truth in love, but it's not easy, is it? Because we're getting put to the test. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Yeah, thank you for leading me into the next thing.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Or universities, right?
Yes.
Exactly what you said. We get named, we're oppressors, we're racists, national, what was the national Christians? National Christians, yeah.
Nationalism, I think, yeah.
Nationalists, yeah, right.
We're colonizers, we're anti-DEI. Yeah, I mean, the universities, the teachers, I mean, if you look at whether they're conservative or liberal, the English department in every single university is like 99% liberal. The
Yeah.
science are less so. They're pushing stuff on our kids. I mean, remember our oldest was off and she was taking a class on socialism. She thought, this is perfect. Why aren't we doing that? Well, we did read the Mayflower Compact, our first American document. A bunch of people came over in the Mayflower and they all kind of were colonists and they built homes and planted stuff, and they were trained, which is what they did back in Europe where they came over to survive all this. But then there were a few that, when they got in their log cabin, they just kind of did nothing, and but they still reaped the benefit of the corn and the other stuff. And so that began the Mayflower Compact, which is you shall reap what you sow. And
Exactly. There you go. Yeah.
yeah, but again, we're pushing those ideologies on kids. And when that doesn't really meet up with your expectations, the DEI, I feel bad for, because I'm going to sit, like when I last checked at Stanford, all the surgical, urology, thoracic surgery, cardio, general surgery, there was not a single Caucasian in any of those. So, and you know, I mean, that's okay. If the merit's there, meaning they're qualified, absolutely. I love that. I love diversity. I was blessed to travel when I was 10 and go to England and then all over Europe. And I was sitting outside of an Italian restaurant, and this dog comes out of the restaurant, goes running down the street, and the guy comes out yelling at an Italian. And I thought, that's the smartest dog I have ever seen. It knows Italian. So I love culture. I mean, if we didn't
Yeah.
have culture, how boring would life be, right?
Yeah.
So, but I'm going to sit at a table as a leader, and I'm going to look at someone in a way I don't want to, and wonder, did they get here because they're now DEI'd, or did they really deserve it? And I
Yes.
would hate to be that person that's wondering if people are looking at me that way.
I mean, I've worked for some very large high-tech companies, and there's
Yeah.
one in particular that I had a family member that was interested in getting hired at, who is totally qualified, would be amazing. So I reached out to some prior coworkers and they said, not a chance. He's a white male.
Oh,
So that's
yeah,
very
no, I completely.
frustrating, right? And I think a lot of these things that are out there had good intentions. Well, not by all, but by many had good intentions, right? How do we see people in a way where they're unique and they're respected and they're loved and that we can be different and yet still be treated in an equal way?
Yeah, amen, Steph.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ladies, always bring the right. Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry, but.
Yeah, no, and I think that that's one of the problems. So you have the LGBTQ community, but now latched onto that through universities is this anti-Israel, anti-Semitism,
Pro-Palestine.
Antifa, pro-Palestinian, pro-Gaza culture that, I mean, half these kids don't even know what river and what sea is being
No, I
talked
have no
about,
idea.
but they join something. This is really cool. I feel
Which
like I'm participating.
it goes back to the sexuality stuff. People want to
Right. So
belong.
that's why, and they actually have Link now, which is pissing off the LGBTQ community because they're not necessarily affiliated with the anti
Yeah, they
stuff.
don't want.
They now are trying to latch onto the same thing.
But you can back up even farther. I have a few gay friends that have really resented how the LGBTQ community has grown because, in a relationship 20 years, that kind of, and they're like, all these things have been attached to it. And if we're not a part of it, then we're, they get labeled all these horrible things and they're like, it's not representative. Like, we're very anti having drag queens with around kids. And there's just a lot of things. And so what you're seeing is these movements kind of become their own machine. And honestly, Antifa is one of those extreme that's now like attaching itself to other things that these people are probably like, that's not what we wanted, but there it goes.
But you look at the word pride without taking it apart, but why do they have Pride Month? Pride is the worst thing you can do. Pride, follow the word roots on the word pride and see what it does. It destroys you. It's the opposite. It's the opposite of what we're supposed to do. So it's exactly what they're doing, but we're supposed to, it all comes back to scripture. If you don't want anything to do with God, then you don't really want truth because he is the ultimate truth. And if you try to share truth, they know. I really believe that everybody's made body, soul, and spirit without going into that. The body is what you see, the soul is your mind, emotion, a will, as scripture shows us in so many places. And the spirit's the place Christ comes in or something else comes in. And when something else comes in, the pride, whatever it might be, it's never going to replace the Lord Jesus Christ coming into your life. So when that's not there, you begin to be this, that, and the other. When you hear truth and you see love, you return anger most of the time. I've talked with people who feel this way, and I finally came to the conclusion, hey, you're not going to agree with this. I understand. And hey, that's the way it is. You have to back off. You have to stand so that they know where you are, but you can't really argue this position. They're going to come after your license in Canada, like you're saying. They're going to come after this or the other. They're going to do things. But greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. But those words have to jump off the page because it's hard sometimes. Right now, there's a shortage of pastors. I'll use the largest Protestant, Southern Baptists. Okay, they're the largest in the nation. Right now, so many guys that I know go through seminaries and things right now. And what do? They come out of seminary. They don't want to be the pastor because it's too hard. So they go into other positions where they can make a living, nurture their family, and be a minister. But there's a shortage of pastors. Because of what we're talking about. And I think we need to love these people, but we sure need the insight, Craig, like you're giving us and your perspective, Stephanie, because this is a frightening frightening world. We're looking at what's happening in another place tonight, and it's very, very frightening to me. And I'm sure glad I can lean on the Lord and be alone with him, but I've spent more time talking to him this way. Lord, what are you going to do? Hey, we're going to take a break in a couple of minutes, but Craig, take us a few couple more minutes if we
Okay,
want to
so
talk
one more big
more.
point is if
Yeah,
you
hit it.
survey the liberal folks and you survey the conservatives,
Yeah.
a large percentage of the liberals are very depressed, and only about 30% of the conservatives. And the marriage rate in conservatives is huge, and it's minimal in the liberal, and therefore, I mean, they don't want to, like you said, they don't want to have kids. It's too much work. But what happens, and the reason why we feel the mental health field feels like the liberals are so depressed and have a higher suicide rate, is because they don't have God. They don't have, which the conservatives do have a much higher
Generally, yeah.
percent. So they've got a purpose in life, which is marry, have kids, serve others, and love. I mean, we have this huge purpose, which brings such warmth to our hearts that, you know, pulling someone off the street, giving them a meal, whatever, having those Ziploc bags for the homeless, which is another thing society's done. We don't name anything anymore, right? Right? We've made it, they're not homeless, they're unhoused. You're not, it's not abortion, it's pro-choice. It's, yeah. So we've changed all these terms to make them so no one really knows what we're speaking about anymore. So we need to change that, get back to those things, and try and show, especially when it comes to mentoring folks that don't want to have kids, that look, this is really one of the most incredible things you could ever do in your life. It, yeah, it's work, but what's happened in America is, and we're guilty of that, you got your kids doing 16 different things, one, two, well, probably three year round, and then four that are not soccer, volleyball, ballet, rugby, I don't know, football, yeah, lana, yeah, can't skip the churches, Boy Scouts, so taekwondo,
It just takes over.
yeah, and then you're trying to compete up with the Joneses. So it's like, stop. Let's just, you know, don't do that. Slow down. Let your kids find something that they're really passionate about. Yeah, let them experiment with it, but don't just, you know, why? You don't need me to do travel ball. There's a big study that shows, don't be doing travel ball for what? Baseball, soccer, football doesn't really do that. Till you're in your teens, it's wasted money. You're not gonna get a, yeah. It's a good, yeah, anyway.
That's really different now, all the clubs and everything. Yeah, but you gotta let your kids make some mistakes, but they got to know when they make the mistakes that I'm loved and my mom and dad are there no matter what happens, they're there for me and I'll be okay. We're all gonna make mistakes. That's the same with the staff. You guys know that when you've had guys on your staff and such, if somebody makes a mistake, you don't pull them in your office and fire them. That's not just because you're a pastor. You sit down and say, what happened? Okay, let's pick this back together and fix it. And now we'll do a heck of a lot better now that we learned. Never lost a staff member that way ever. And that's a pretty good sized staff. Same thing with your kids. Boy, that's where so many people are coming from right now. And boy, I've never prayed so hard in my whole life as I am for America right now and for families and for kids and where they're going. It's frightening. We had to do this again, Craig. Steph, we got to bring
Yeah,
we
because I had a whole list of things we could do to make it improve. Well, I'll have to come back and do that sometime.
We have to do it.
The
Yeah.
beginning part, I apologize, but I
Who
think
knows?
the biggest takeaway with all of this and the levels and everything that we're seeing is because people are isolated, whether they truly are physically or
Yeah.
not, that's how they're feeling. And so people have to know how much you care. I think a lot of times Christians get a bad rap because we may be vocal about our position on something or how we feel. But really, Christians are going to be loving to other people, right? And if you don't have the same belief that I do, I'm going to extend love to you. Now, if we have relationship, we become friends, it's going to become my obligation to tell you that that's not the right way to live. But just in having that community and being together, so much for those people will change. We all go through seasons of hard.
Yes. Yes, amen. Seasons, perfect word for it. Some
Yeah.
of them through those, and so let's be there and put a hand and go from there. Hey, I'm going to find a time. Don't lose those notes. keep going, Greg, because we should
Yeah.
and do this. Hey, Steph, can you give us a word right now? Because it's
Yeah.
some a lot of stuff coming up.
Absolutely. We just love that you guys come and hang out with us. Thank you so much. I got a couple of messages before the show started, and I was like, I'm not going to be there in time.
Oh,
So we
no.
love that you reach out, that you just stay connected with us. Thank you for just being dedicated listeners, for staying connected. Share with somebody that maybe hasn't heard the show so we can get more visibility out there. You can follow us and learn everything there is to learn at bbsradio.com/raising expectations. We always love your generosity. You can donate there at the top with the two fancy ways. And then if you scroll down a little bit, there's ways to directly contact Pastor Joe if you'd like to give in that format. And then if you keep going down, you can see all past shows. They're on there. It's fantastic. Our team is amazing and has it cataloged. And then here, as you keep going down, you can see the different co-hosts, how to connect with us, a little bit about each one, the different things that we do. And then it has Pastor Joe and Craig's books. And we just appreciate you hanging out with us. We really strive to bring you good content and bring you back to the Lord and maybe some good hard conversations.
That's it. We're going to have a good time.
Yeah.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, boy, the time got away quick. Craig, thank you. Steph, thank you. Thank you guys for being who you are. And thanks
Thanks,
for
Kirk.
blessing my life tonight. I appreciate it. And guys, everybody be back next week. We got a word what happened there, but we'll share with you next week. So there's no happy trails tonight in music, but there is in heart. So the Lord go with you and bless you and keep you until we meet again. And have a blessed week, and may He walk with you all the way. Thanks for tuning in. You guys have a great week on the West Coast, East Coast. And from the West Coast, we'll see you guys later. God
Southeast West, yeah.
bless
Okay,
you.
good. Okay, good. In the middle. That's good. Okay. Thanks so much. God bless and keep you. Thanks for tuning in.
Friends, thanks for joining us on this week's program of Raising Expectations. We profoundly hope you found it engaging and at times humorous, but most of all, uplifting, so that we may, with you, one topic at a time each week, become more encouraged to move forward to an exciting future in, as we always say, this thing called life in America today. So let not your hearts be troubled, your family, finances, faith, freedom. It can be a great future as we talk, listen, respect, and pull together. Please let me hear from you. You can reach me at 972-922-8556. That's 972-922-8556, or Joe Schofield on Facebook or LinkedIn. It'd be a pleasure to know you, and we hope you'll listen in again next week on the BBS Radio Network.